Brother Eric John Phelps coming to you today on this beautiful September 15th, Sunday, the Lord's Day, with the broadcast that is entitled "The Pope's New Right to be Aligned with Islam in America for the Extermination of Heretics and Liberals pursuant to the Jesuit Oath, as well as for the extermination of the racial Hebrew Jewish Israelites in North America. This is a possibility because the fascists and the Nazis of Europe, namely Hitler's Nazis and Mussolini's fascists, and secretly Franco's fascists, work together using Islam for the destruction of targeted populations deemed heretics and liberals by the Jesuits and the Roman papacy that they control, which would also include, quote-unquote, at the time, the perfidious Jews, a term that was used prior to the Second Vatican Council from 1962 to 65. So this is the theory promoted today, which would explain why the Jesuits running District of Columbia, the United States corporation located in District of Columbia, which is the military government, would deliberately bring in millions of Muslims and settle them in notable places, particularly Protestant places in Minnesota and Catholic places in Illinois and other places throughout the country, so that when some terrible event takes place, it can be blamed on the Jews, which will justify their roundups and persecution by the new right, aided by the Muslims who utterly hate the Jews. And the Muslims today, particularly the Sunni Muslims, believe that the Jews run America. And if that's the case, the last several wars that this military government has been involved in, controlled by the Pope, being waged against Shia Muslim countries like a portion of Afghanistan and a portion of Iraq, as well as the Sunnis, that will unite the Sunnis together for the extermination of the Jews in North America. And they will work hand in hand along with the new right, just as Hitler had his Haji Amin al-Husseini, the leader of the Muslims in Jerusalem, working with the SS for the extermination of the Bosnian Serbs and the purging of the Jews out of Croatia, how the Ustashi and Islam work together, the Ustashi being the type of SS in Croatia, led by Antipavelic, overseen by Archbishop Stefanik. And then we have Mussolini, who was given the sword of Islam when Mussolini invaded Ethiopia and was responsible for the death of several hundred thousand Coptic black Ethiopian Christians to the delight of Islam. So we see that Mussolini's fascism worked with Islam for the destruction of non-Roman Catholic Christian people. And lastly, we shall see how Franco used Islam, some 40,000 troopers, to persecute the Spanish Republicans, many of them Protestants. And we shall read from Pierre Van Passen's work on just how brutal and merciless and rapacious these Islamic savages were as they worked for and in conjunction with Generalissimo Franco, who was completely overseen and run by the Society of Jesus in Spain. So we shall see that in the past, the fascist, or the new right, as we will call it here in America, worked in conjunction with Islam for the destruction of targeted populations for the benefit, ultimately, of the Roman papacy. I believe that is exactly what will happen here. So it appears that way. I trust it will not, but it is a most telling possibility. And it's my prayer that the reason why Islam was brought here by those who would ultimately rule the new right was for this very purpose: the destruction of apostate Christianity in North America, apostate Protestants, apostate Baptists, the destruction of the Jews, and ultimately it will be the destruction of the blacks. I will teach you of the six-sided enemy that I believe the new right and Islam will seek to destroy for the benefit of the papacy, and all the while being a sword of the Lord Jesus Christ for the punishment of sin in this country. That six-sided enemy, I maintain, is this. It will be the blacks in general, because the blacks have been incited by the CIA with their hip-hop to commit all sorts of crime, which will justify their roundups. Second of all, the Jews. The Jews are generally always leftist, socialist, communists. Rarely are they conservative like Ben Shapiro or Mr. Levin on Fox News. The third group will be the homosexuals, the quote-unquote LGBT group. The Muslims can't stand them, along with the New Right. And of course, it's a sinful organization. It is wicked. It is denounced by Romans chapter 1. Men with men working that which is unseemly. So this is the third enemy. The fourth enemy will be the communists, the liberals that essentially run the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party will be completely dealt with by the New Right and the Muslims. And so that's the fourth enemy. The fifth enemy will be Bible-believing Christian people. The righteous, those in Christ, we will be a target for extermination. And the last target will be in the Hispanic alien invaders. It's the most intriguing picture. And to think that the new right that is being led by Donald Trump could actually be united with Islam is a staggering thought. But when Donald Trump went to Saudi Arabia, did not they perform the sword dance with all the Saudi leaders? And remember, the Saudis are the Wahhabis. They are the most vicious, violent, unrelenting of all the Muslims. And they performed the sword dance with Trump, showing their acceptance of him. Because they're both Masonic. Trump is Masonic, and the high leaders of Islam are Masonic, subject to the Jesuits and the Pope. So it seems to be a foreshadowing of a future alliance between Trump, once he becomes president or commander-in-chief of the Pope's Holy Roman 14th Amendment American Empire, with Islam that's been deliberately brought here for the purpose of using them as the killers of certain targeted populations here in North America. So, to make this scenario believable, or at least to be considered as a possibility, we need to go into a little bit of history during the 20th century. We shall examine, first of all, Hitler's relationship, the Austrian Roman Catholic Schicklgruber's relationship to Islam through Haji Ibn al-Husseini, who was the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, placed there in power in the 1920s by Herbert Samuel, who was a British Jew in charge of the mandate there to make Palestine a homeland for the Jews. And then so the Jesuits used this Masonic Jew, Herbert Samuel, to appoint a hood, a punk, someone that the Arabs in general couldn't stand, as the head or the mufti of Jerusalem. In Pierre Van Passen's great work, Days of Our Years, published in 1939, we read on page 363 as an introduction to Haji Min al-Husseini, the grand, quote-unquote, mufti of Jerusalem. Chapter 5. I, Hamin al-Husseini, quote-unquote, grand mufti of Jerusalem, proved to be an amicable young man with a silken red beard, a disarming smile, and big blue saucer eyes. Ein gemütlicher Viennese, one might have said, had been dressed in a frock coat, with striped trousers. Only he was not attired in the European style. He wore a gown of dark red silk, and on his head a white cloth wrapped around a green fez, in token of an accomplished pilgrimage to Mecca. His striking Nordic features, clothed in that Oriental costume, made him look like a European dressed up for a masquerade ball. I had waited for 10 minutes in an antechamber where a mixed crowd of ulamas, eunuchs, beggars, and bodyguards was posted to impress the stranger with the importance of the man who was about to receive me in audience. Before being ushered into a high-ceilinged chamber overlooking the gardens of the Mosque of Omar, that's also known as the Dome of the Rock, I had also been prompted to address the quote-unquote Grand Mufti with the title of Eminence. The advice came from Jamal el-Husseini, the quote, grand-unquote Mufti's cousin, and chief secretary. Once in the great man's presence, I was informed by Jamal that His Eminence was a direct lineal descendant of Muhammad's only daughter, Fatima, and a prospective candidate for the office of Caliph al-Islam. When I opened my eyes, rather incredulously, at this startling announcement, the secretary went on to say that it was generally recognized in the Mohammedan world that since the apostasy of Kemal Pasha and his disposition of the Turkish Sultan, the office of supreme spiritual head of Islam should be laid in religion's second holy city, Jerusalem. And who could be more suitable for the position than? He bowed in the direction of his smiling cousin. I also bowed. I could see al-Hamin liked the idea tremendously. But, I asked naively, isn't His Majesty Ibn Saud of the Wahhabites also a candidate? The king of the Hejaz was too much of a sectarian. He was not a man of the world, but a regional Puritan reformer, a man who did not have a sufficiently Catholic view of Islam. Moreover, Ibn Saud was already sheriff of Mecca. So this is the introduction of Haji Min al-Husseini. He thinks he should be the head of Islam, and he thinks the headquarters for Islam should be in Jerusalem. That was his desire. We go on now to page 366, Days of Our Years, and as Pierre Van Passen is interviewing Husseini, we'll start on page 365, bottom paragraph. The whole marvelous scene lay at my feet. In the clear light, the immense garden seemed almost unreal, a frame on which God had embroidered the world. Ulamas were strolling around in the poplar lanes with their disciples, or reposed in little groups in the shade of the palms. Believers were washing their hands and feet at the fountains. I saw this in Jerusalem. The sun had imposed a golden luster on the octer facades of the kiosks. Above the treetops, against the incense blue of the Judean hills, I could see the gleaming porcelain dome of the great Byzantine mosque with its challenging inscription, "Remember, Muslims, God has no son," unquote. Another reason for that thing to be torn down. Continuing, quote, "That is the sanctuary," said the quote-unquote Grand Mufti at my elbow. "The Jews," quote, "the Jews want to tear down. Here they plan to rebuild the Temple of Solomon," unquote. Now, this was written in 1939. And this was obviously a plan of the Jesuits in control of the labor Zionists that they were placing in power over Israel after the British would leave in 1948. The British are still here at this time in 1939, as Great Britain was totally controlled by the Jesuits since no later than King George III of 1760. I show that in my book, Vatican Assassins. Pierre Van Passen replies, "Do they?" I asked in surprise. "I have never heard of that." Quote, "Oh, but that is common knowledge," unquote, His Eminence nodded, and stepping over to a small Louis XVI secretaire, as which is a desk, he drew out a sheet of paper and read, quote, "Lord Melchett declared that he will consecrate the remainder of his life to rebuild the Jewish temple," unquote. "And here is something else," added the Grand Mufti. "Professor Einstein believes that Palestine without the temple is to the Jews like a body without a head. Do you see the real aims of the Jews? They want to destroy this mosque," unquote. And that's exactly correct. It's the Jesuits using their Masonic Jewish labor Zionists and other Masonic leaders of what is today Israel, which is rightfully there. It's the land of the Jews, pursuant to the Word of God. It's the Abrahamic covenant with the land promise. But they intend most assuredly on behalf of the Pope to destroy this mosque and build a third Hebrew temple. Now, there's an author that came out with a book titled The Real Site of the Third of the Hebrew Temple. I just read the book and placed it over in the church building of my library there. And he says that the mosque and the Al-Aqsa Mosque, the Dome of the Rock and Al-Aqsa Mosque, do not need to be torn down for the building of the Third Hebrew Temple. May be true, but I do not believe we would be serious that the Pope would allow these Muslim abominations on the Temple Mount in the midst of or surrounding the Third Hebrew Temple that the Pope is intending to build ultimately for himself, for the final Pope of Rome to be slain with a sword and to rise from the dead, to be the beast of Revelation 13:14, and then to sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, pursuant to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It is this Haji Amin al-Husseini who, being Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, who hates the Jews and who hates the idea of them having a homeland in Palestine. It is this Haji Amin al-Husseini who will be invited by Adolf Hitler to be a guest in Berlin for 4 years. And it is this Haji Amin al-Husseini who will be the recruiter of Muslims to fight in a division of the SS titled the Handschar Division. And it's this Handschar Division that will kill Orthodox Christian people in Bosnia and in that general vicinity. So we have fascism or Nazism working in conjunction with Islam for the destruction of a targeted population. concerning Hajj Amin al-Husseini's visit, or being treated as a guest in Berlin by Adolf Hitler, we read in my book, Vatican Assassins, chapter 37, page 1108, the one who appointed him as the Mufti was, I have a picture here of the British Masonic Jewish labor Zionist Herbert Samuel, 1921. As the first British High Commissioner in Palestine, Samuel was subject to Jesuit rule through Masonic King George VI and the Royal Institute for International Affairs and the British Labor Party. Thus, he appointed a radical Islamic Freemason to be Mufti of Jerusalem. Hajj Amin al-Husseini was a Muslim Freemason. Next on page 1108, a picture of Islamic Freemason Hajj Amin al-Husseini, 1893 to 1974, pictures in the 1920s. Grand Mufti of Jerusalem from 1921 to 1955. Founding the Arab Secret Society El Nadi El Arabi, the Arab Club, and working for the British, Husseini was appointed Mufti by Samuel, that's Herbert Samuel, who pardoned him for inciting a riot killing 5 Jews. This open policy was to forbid the resettlement of Palestine with Jews. His secret policy was to help the labor Zionists, which he did in 1948 during Israel's War of Independence, and to unite all Arabs to serve as a common enemy, thus uniting Jewish immigrants returning from all nations. And I cite here The Jews in the 20th Century by Martin Gilbert and O Jerusalem by Larry Collins. This is Hajj Amin al-Husseini, openly against the Jews, but secretly working for their resettlement in Palestine. Remember, high Masonic leaders subject to the Jesuits have an open but false policy and a secret but true policy. On page 1109, I have a picture of Husseini sitting with Hitler. The Pope's Freemasons, Amin al-Husseini with Hitler and Hitler in Berlin, 1941. Amin al-Husseini and Hitler cooperated together during the Vatican's calculated destruction of European Jews. The Grand Mufti openly opposed resettlement of Palestine by the Lord's beloved sons of Jacob, while secretly cooperating with Masonic labor Zionists and their Masonic British masters ruled by the order. Regarded as a hoodlum, quote-unquote, by Jerusalem's Muslim High Council, when appointed Grand Mufti in 1922, he consolidated power over Palestinian Arabs by the Arab Revolt, 1936 to 1939, financed by the Nazi SS. Entertaining best friend Eichmann throughout the 1930s, al-Husseini fled from Syria to Berlin in 1941 to aid Hitler in his anti-Orthodox, anti-Hebrew crusade until the end of the war. The Mufti aggressively recruited Muslim quote-unquote cutthroats to fight with Himmler's Waffen-SS. Hitler's ghost-ridden Mein Kampf was avidly read by the Islamic troops, fueling their intolerance for quote-unquote infidels, while their priest-led Roman Catholic brethren were urged on to kill the quote-unquote heretics. Jesuit fascism and its daughter, Masonic Islam, worked hand-in-hand, hand-in-glove, during the Spanish Civil War from 1936 to 1939, during Hitler's subjugation of Bosnia and Serbia, 1941 to 1945, and against Jews seeking to escape Nazi Europe by returning to their ancient homeland, forbidden by the 1939 British White Paper authored by Jesuit coadjutor Malcolm MacDonald. On page 1110 of my book, Vatican Assassins, we continue on. We have a picture of Himmler with Husseini. Reichsführer Himmler with the Mufti of Jerusalem in Berlin, 1943. Upon Parliament's approval of the British White Paper in 1939, permitting only 75,000 Jews to immigrate into Palestine over a 5-year period, Jesuit coadjutors Malcolm MacDonald and his boss, Royal Institute for International Affairs Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain, had sealed off any possible Jewish escape from Hitler's crusading SS Teutonic Knights. Jesuit coadjutor al-Husseini's purpose was to unite Islamic leaders for the destruction of apostate Protestant British control over the Middle East, while forcibly preventing illegal, quote-unquote, Jewish immigration into Palestine during the war, after which only the strongest Holocaust survivors could be used to build the Pope's, quote-unquote, Kingdom of Jerusalem, ruled by co-conspirator, Masonic labor Zionist, David Ben-Gurion. Implicitly obeying orders, the Mufti backed Hitler and Himmler's extermination of Jews, even visiting Auschwitz with Eichmann, while residing in Berlin for 5 years, 1941 to 1945, overseen by Bishop von Preysing, a Catholic bishop. Protected by Rome after the war, al-Husseini fled to Egypt, cleverly helped the Pope's Masonic Jewish labor Zionists in Israel's War of Independence, and birthed the Arab agitation against Jews living in their own land, unconditionally given to their fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Escaping to Egypt with other protected Nazis, the Mufti aided in building the Pope's neo-Nazi Islamic Masonic International Terrorist Network, financed by the order's Wahhabi al-Saud royal family in Saudi Arabia. In 1974, al-Husseini died, went to hell, and was succeeded by his nephew, the late Yasser Arafat al-Husseini, yet another Masonic Jesuit coadjutor, given no less than 9 audiences with the Pope, unquote. So, these high Muslim leaders of the Husseini family were Masons, subject to the Pope, and thus doing the will of the Jesuit order. On the following page, 1111 of my book, Vatican Assassins, of chapter 37, we see a picture of Himmler reviewing the 13th Waffen-SS Croatian Muslim Division in 1943. Heinrich Himmler reviews his SS Muslims, recruited with the aid of the order's pro-Nazi Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, Haji Emin al-Husseini, prepared to murder the quote-unquote heretic Serbian Orthodox people. Fighting as Masonic General Tito's partisans, the Serbs fought both the Ustashi and the Hanshar, quote-unquote, backed by the Pope. These fanatical killers would also murder 90% of the Jews in Croatia. See Waffen-SS, Hitler's Elite Guard at War, 1939-45, by George H. Stein, written in 2002. So, here we have Muslim killers killing Jews and killing Orthodox. Is it possible that we would have the same thing here with Islamic killers recruited into the new right for the killing of Jews of North America and into Canada, because it's going to go an invasion into Canada, as well as apostate Protestants? You think that's possible here? It happened in the past. And I maintain there has to be an event that would incite them to this. Now, for the killing of apostate Protestants and other targeted enemies, the Muslims of the Middle East utterly hate white Americans. They also hate the blacks, too. Remember, the Muslims consider the blacks a subservient race, and they're only fit to be servants. That's what they think of them. So, why have my deacon in my church, he said when he was stationed in Iraq, he was with the Marines, he said whenever a black Marine was downtown or whatever, the Muslims would laugh at him. The Arab Muslims would point and snicker. You see, because these Muslims hate the blacks. So you couple that with their hatred for the blacks, their hatred for the Jews, their hatred for the Protestants here, because the Protestants are generally apostate, and you see Protestants in places of power, and they will be a perfect killing machine for the Pope's Roman Catholic-led New Right, although there will be many Protestants in the New Right, but they will be a perfect killing machine for the Jews and the blacks here in North America, and the homosexuals. Gotta kill them off too. So my point being is that it's very possible when the new right comes to power, the Muslims will be brought into their ranks as targeted assassins and killers to be set forth on the targeted populations in North America. Two more examples of Islam being used by fascists. Benito Mussolini was given the sword of Islam in 1937 with his invasion of Ethiopia. And Islam loved it. Now we're going to be killing Christians of Ethiopia, some 700,000 of them about. And these black Ethiopian Christians would have to hail a poster of Mussolini wherever they went. They'd have to raise their hand and salute it. Mussolini and his Italian fascists united with the Muslims of North Africa in Libya, because he was given the sword of Islam in Libya, for the killing of targeted Christian populations in Ethiopia. And at the time, Haile Selassie was the president of Ethiopia, denounced it, wanted to appeal to the League of Nations of what was being done to his country. And so, my point being is that Mussolini used Muslims, Hitler used Muslims, and there's one other gentleman, there's one other savage that used Muslims. His name was Francisco Franco. According to Pierre Van Passen, again in his great work, Days of Our Years, he shows that the purpose of Generalissimo Francisco Franco was to destroy Protestantism out of Spain. And remember, at this time, the Republic that had been established in 1931, 1932, had expelled the Jesuit order from Spain. So the Jesuits raised up Franco and made him their crusader for the killing out of the Protestant church in Spain, pursuant to the Jesuit orders, Council of Trent, and then for the readmittance of the Jesuits back into Spain in 1939 at the end of the Spanish, quote-unquote, Civil War. We read from page 466 of Days of Our Years concerning Franco. General Franco's cynical boast that Spain, after liberating Europe from Protestantism as its last great achievement of world historical significance, was, under his leadership, about to resume its glorious destiny by proceeding with a restoration of the quote-unquote traditional morality, that means restoring Catholicism and the Jesuit order, of the country, not only cut me to the quick, but served as a singular clarification of the issues involved in the Civil War. What Franco was doing in Spain, the Duke of Alva and the Cardinal de Granville had tried to do in the 17th century in Holland and Flanders and Catherine de' Medici and the Duke of Guise in the Savage Night of St. Bartholomew's Massacre in France in, what, 1572, when they killed 75,000 Protestants in a couple nights, a couple days. Franco and his cohorts desired to slip the collar of servitude back on the necks of the Spanish people who had just thrown it off. And I would add, by expelling the Jesuits. This was infamy, quote unquote. And again, it was wearing the mask of pious hypocrisy and Christian, I should say, Roman Catholic morality, under which every single inhabitant of the Netherlands was once condemned to death by the Inquisition for the sake of his soul's good. This was the oppression against which Calvin and William of Orange and the beggars of Holland and Zeeland had revolted, and to escape which the Puritan fathers had founded a new republic in America. The imposition of a totalitarian creed in a totalitarian state, the substitution for God as the sole source of authority, of the authority of the human institutions of state and church. The substitution for God as the sole source of authority, of the authority of the human institutions and state and church, of state and church. The struggle that Franco unleashed had nothing to do with Marx or Lenin. Remember, they branded the Spanish Republic as Marxist and communist. Okay? And there was a very famous American, black American soldier who helped the Republic and who fought with the Spanish Republicans. He would later be given the Medal of Honor here in America, but was greatly persecuted for it after he fought for them and instructed them how to use weapons. But we go here. It was by virtue of our own Protestant logic and principles which gave birth to modern democracy and which demand a radical independence of conscience that the Spanish people decided spontaneously on a defense to the death against the fascist usurper. And it was those ideals which sustained them, although poorly armed in the struggle against two of the mightiest military states on earth, which were backed by an international campaign of slander and vilification. And those two mighty military states were, what I believe it was, France and Germany. So, and it was those ideals which sustained them, although poorly armed in the struggle against two of the mightiest military states on earth. Yeah, they were fighting against Spain, they were fighting against Germany, because Hitler sent his German soldiers in to aid Franco. So, we see, Franco was fighting against the Protestants, seeking to destroy them out of Spain. We now go to page 467. Rumors that Franco, who gloried in the expulsion of the Jews by Ferdinand and Isabella, an event that was accompanied by an inhumanity which after all these years still makes the heart stand still with horror, was singling out the Protestants in Spain for special torture and the most ignominious death, came not as a surprise to me. But when my uncle, who was Scriba, of the North Holland Synod of the Dutch Reformed Church, inquired by letter to verify the reports current in Huguenot circles, those are the French Huguenot circles in France, Protestants, and amongst Protestants in Holland about Franco's deliberate cruelty, quote, to our people, unquote, I placed myself in communication with the leaders of the Evangelical Church in Spain. And now Franz von Papen, Pierre von Papen, gives us this, Pierre Van Passen gives us this horrible recitation of what Franco did to the Protestants in Spain as he used Muslim troopers to do it. Remember, Franco's fascist, he's new right, he's fighting against Protestants and he's using Muslims to do it. Pierre Van Passen now says on page 468, I found them rather conservative theologians and confirmed fundamentalists. Many of them like that here in America. They related to me the hopeful beginnings that had been made by the various Protestant missions in Spain since the Republic had been established in 1931. Jesuits expelled in 32, I would add. And freedom of worship had been decreed for all cults. 2 years before Alfonso's abdication, a humble woman of the people had actually been jailed by the Inquisition for affirming to some friends gathered around the village pump that our Lord had had little brothers and sisters, quote, as the New Testament definitely states, and those who wanted to worship outside the official temples, those Roman Catholic temples, had been doing it in great secrecy and in dread of the Carabineros. That was Franco's secret police and spying out and trying to find the Protestants to put them to death. All that was changed by the Republic. The Protestant missions had gained 150,000 adherents in Spain in 4 years' time. Those godless workers in the slums of Barcelona, Madrid, and other cities had sent 67,000 of their children to the Protestant day schools. No less than 1 million Bibles have been distributed by the British and Foreign Bible Society, of which 300,000 have been purchased. Yes, the gospel had prospered wonderfully under the Republic, and our brethren of the Evangelical Church of the Anglican Church, I was told, had taken a special interest in Spain. And even after the trouble broke out with Franco's revolt, the people had not burned or disturbed a single Protestant chapel. All had remained open and crowded, even on days of bombardment and terror. As to the Protestants in territories occupied by the insurgents, there was news only from a few places. Communication between the capital and the cities and provinces of the hands in the hands of Franco was not only difficult, it was dangerous to boot. But at least the following incidents were known on the indisputable authority of refugee Protestants from Toledo. Upon the conquest of that city by Franco, the Moors, these are the Muslim, Arab Muslims, and the soldiers of the Tercio, more Muslims, had been let loose in the hospital where a Protestant pastor, Don Jimenez Arido, and his wife were confined to bed with illness. They were bayoneted by these savage Muslims, along with, and I add that, by these savage Muslims, along with the other 250 patients in the institution. These Muslim savages went and bayoneted all these helpless, disarmed, 250-something patients in the hospital. If they unite with the new right here, that's what they're going to do in the hospitals. They're going to go into the hospitals. They're going to bayonet the people there, as they did in Spain, because they'll be regarded as infidels by the Muslims and heretics by the new right, because the new right is going to be Roman Catholic-led. Another pastor in Toledo, Don Miguel Almorain, was arrested in his house and kept a prisoner for a month, then led to the execution field in the company of all the Jews who could be rounded up in the city by the fascists and shot down by a RIF, that's a Muslim firing squad. These Muslim RIF savages came out of northern Morocco, brought into Spain for this killing crusade of Protestants. Continuing on page 469, as Saragossa, fascist troops pillaged the Protestant chapel, befouling the Bible and the pulpit with their own ordure, and arrested the pastor. So they're urinating and defecating on the Bible and the pulpit. And arrested the pastor, Don Benjamin Harris. He was led out in the square in front of the cathedral, that's the Roman Catholic cathedral, after a mass of people had been summoned into the streets to see the show. There the pastor and the local liberals and labor leaders, amongst whom was one deputy to the Cortes, had their hands and feet tied and were left in the middle of the street to face two oncoming 40-ton tanks. Now we're going to run them over with tanks. This is what the fascist Muslims did to the Protestants of Spain in the 1930s, from 1936 to 1939. Would they do it here? Would the new right, when it comes to power here, utilize Muslims for this very same kind of murder? At Granada, the two Protestant pastors, Don Jose Garcia Fernandez and Don Salvatore Ignace, were seized by rebel soldiers and shot. The wife of Dr. Fernandez faced the firing squad with her husband and his colleague after she had been raped by a number of Muslim troopers of a Spahi cavalry regiment. So now the Muslims are not only going to kill you, but they're going to take turns gang raping you, all you Protestants and Baptists. Just think of that, you white women. That's what these savage Muslim people of color, be they Arabs or Arabs primarily, when they're here, that's what they're going to do to you. That's exactly what the savage Muslim did to the Armenian Christians during the massacres, the Armenian massacre in 1915 during World War I. They took the prettiest Armenian women and put them in their own harems so they could take turns raping them whenever they felt like it. This is the Muslim way against infidels. They hate us. They want to kill us. They want to steal everything God has ever blessed us with. And they want to take turns raping our women and then killing them too. Or keeping them around for their harems if they're pretty. Page 469, continuing. In Santa Maria, Franco's troops, unable to find, quote-unquote, the heretic they sought all over town, seized the wife of the, quote-unquote, local preacher, soaked her clothes in gasoline, and set her on fire. She was horribly burned, and thereafter, while screaming with pain, executed by a Moor who was allowed to chop her body to pieces with an axe. Ah, that's the good fascist Muslim way. Torture and vicious murder by these killers sent by the devil to kill the Lord's people in Franco's fascist Spain. Continuing. In San Fernando, Pastor Miguel Blanco was executed in the presence of his mother. His death was decreed by the commanding fascist officer to serve as an example to the other 40, quote-unquote, evangelicals in the town. The minister of Puerto Real, Don Francisco Lopez, underwent the same treatment. They're going to take you out, they're going to shoot you. Of course, that's after they get your guns. That's why these criminals in District of Columbia want to take your guns. So this kind of mass murder and torture take place upon us by the new right and its Muslims that they brought here deliberately for this. Nothing was known concerning the fate of the evangelical minister of Majadas, Don Carlos Lenin, nor of the Protestant Sunday school teacher of Santa Amila, Don Luis Cabrera. They were supposed to have been victims of the general fascist terror against Protestants. In Ibernando, in the province of Caceres, the Protestants were executed in mass. Pastors, men, women, and children, among them a nobleman by the name of Don Francisco Tirado. The same happened in Pragidon, the province of Logrogno. The congregation there numbered 30 souls. 6 only escaped death. In Badajoz, where 3,000 persons were machine-gunned in the bullring, the Protestant pastor and all his flock were dragged to the arena of death because most of their names figured on the list of the subscribers to the local public library. Ah, if you like to read, you got to go too. In Santa Amelia, the Protestants were handed over to the RIF troops, those are the savage Muslim Moroccan troops, by the fascist officers. Isn't that nice? Are the sufferings of these obscure Christians recorded merely to excite additional horror? Asked Motley. Motley was John Lothrop Motley, the great author of The Dutch Republic and the United Netherlands, American author. Asked Motley in writing of the mass execution of the Protestants of Holland by the armies of Philip II at the behest of the Spanish Inquisition. His own answer was, as we have seen, no. They are part and parcel of the record and of the spirit of the times. We may therefore well add, in the case of those tens of thousands of humble souls in Spain, that their sorrows and martyrdom are testimony to the failure and fall of Christianity, and that 20 centuries of teaching, and you should say Catholicism, are testimony to the failure and fall of Romanism, in that after 20 centuries of teaching of brotherly love by words alone man has not yet learned mercy and compassion. Well, of course you're not going to get it from Catholicism, Pierre Van Passen. Should never call Catholicism Christianity. Continuing, from the day General Franco attacked the Democratic Republic, the Spanish hierarchy, that's the Roman hierarchy of all the archbishops and bishops and so on, and cardinals, as the business partner of the reaction in landed estates, banks, railway lines, and urban real estate, charged itself with the word-breaking general's propaganda, service abroad. Word-breaking general's propaganda, service abroad, utilizing the Catholic press and enlisting the services of innumerable pulpiteers throughout the world. That the Spanish hierarchy, with its Jesuitical and Contra-Reformation traditions, should have taken the attitude it did was in itself not surprising, but that the quote-unquote the social-minded Vatican should not have recognized in the popular front movements of Europe the labored breathing of the world's weary and heavy-laden, and in the striving of the democratic and totalitarian masses in Spain and elsewhere for a classless society, a fundamentally Christian impulse shows that Rome has severed its last remaining link with Christianity. The class consciousness of the papacy drives it to league itself with every reaction, be it in Spain, Germany, Mexico, Holland, or Austria. It has not uttered a word of protest against the mass murder of working-class leaders in Italy, Austria, Germany, and Spain. Rome only protests when its organization is menaced and its influence curtailed, or when the capitalist conception of property is challenged. The papal Secretary of State, Cardinal Pacelli, who later became Pius XII, did telegraph an apostolic blessing to a man like Dollfuss on the day when his police were hounding and hanging the dispersed remnants of the Viennese Social Democrats. See, that's, they got to get rid of the Democratic Party here. That's what they did there in Vienna. Mussolini's bloody work in Ethiopia was described as a holy task by the Osservatore Romano. That is a Jesuit mouthpiece, a newspaper in Rome. While the Episcopal Conference of Fulda has lauded Hitler as a man of God. The day the Nazis marched into Austria and the last remaining bulwark of Christianity and humanism in Eastern Europe went down before the jackbooted barbarians, Cardinal Innitzer declared the Führer a man visibly blessed by Providence, quote-unquote. In Spain, those who used the utmost violence in trying to suppress an emerging social order, yeah, like Protestants, which aims at lifting man to a higher dignity than that of beasts of burden in the service of grandees and abbots, were placed on the level with saints and martyrs of the faith by the agencies of Rome. You see, the Jesuits used fascism coupled with Islam to persecute and murder the Protestants of Spain, to persecute and murder the Orthodox of Bosnia and Croatia, to persecute and murder the Lutherans of Prussia, to persecute and murder those Orthodox. So you have the Muslims working in conjunction with New Right fascism during the Second 30 Years' War in Europe from 1914 to 1945, and especially the second half, 1941 to 45. Is it possible that when the New Right comes to power here in America, that will most assuredly seek to confiscate all of our guns, will they use Muslim troopers, Muslim soldiers, Muslim savages to kill targeted populations in North America like the Jews and the Protestants? Yes, I believe this is the Jesuit design against North America. When they will bring their New Right to power, and Wahhabi Islam, Sunni Islam, will be aid them in their roundups and executions. Remember, the entire leadership of the Third Reich, most of it was preserved. They faked the deaths of Hitler. They faked the deaths of Himmler. They brought Karl Wolff over here, right-hand man of Himmler. I mean, they brought the high-level Nazis into the West, continued this underground Nazi empire under the Odessa file, Martin Bormann built 750 corporations out of South America protected by Juan Perón for the future revival of fascism in North America. Meanwhile, to set up this new right fascist, quasi-fascist state, the population has to be demoralized. And so the Jesuits have demoralized the population using the mafia and their CIA, the Catholic mafia and the Roman Catholic CIA, to flood the country with drugs, pornography, and every other thing to weaken the population, to demoralize it, to make it a fit instrument for destruction by these coming executioners. We also see in the book by Betty Claremont, the neo-Catholics implementing Christian, which means Roman Catholic nationalism in America. That's what's coming. Is it any wonder why the Archbishop of New York City, Timothy Cardinal Dolan, openly backed Trump? Is it any wonder why the conservative, quote-unquote, Roman Catholic priests and bishops and others support Trump, just as the Roman Catholic bishops supported Hitler and supported Franco and supported Mussolini? And Mussolini's advisor was a very powerful Jesuit, secretary of the society, named Pietro Tacci Venturi, who is portrayed in Chris Pinto's excellent work, the video, American Jesuits. American Jesuits. So we need to wake up, folks. I believe this is going to happen, and therefore there are things that we must do. As I've taught in the past, Bible-believing men of God need to return to the Reformation Bible. That's the AB 1611 in its present edition of 1769, with its underlying Textus Receptus Greek text for the New Testament and the underlying Masoretic text for the Old Testament. We need to get back to the true Word of God. Secondly, we need to repent of our sins, of compromise, immorality, cowardice, refusal to face the papacy on an open battlefield of verbal conflict and debate, with the end then that we might declare our independence in a county, that we will not be subject to the District of Columbia anymore, to the United States centered in the District of Columbia anymore, which is an emergency war powers military government led by the Commander-in-Chief, subject to the Pope, anymore. And we will start our own nation, as the colonies once did. But for the colonies to do that, they had to go through a great awakening. There was preaching of Jonathan Edwards and George Whitefield. And with that preaching, there was the first great awakening. And with the first great awakening, then God answered the prayers of his people, sent us George Washington and others to lead in the righteous resistance to Jesuit tyranny put upon us by King George III and his Jesuit advisors. That's true history. And would to God it would happen. Because I'm utterly convinced if things continue as they are, we're going into the new right. They've selected Trump to be the president. When he is inaugurated on January 20th, things will change. Could very well be that the Jesuits will incite mass anarchy that will justify the roundups of the anarchists. Just as the CIA created hip-hop with all these black, savage hip-hopping musical, I don't want to call them singers. I have an article from one of my students saying that a retired CIA officer said the CIA created hip-hop to drive all these blacks to incite them to savagery and fornication and theft and murder and bloods and crips and all that stuff to justify their roundups by the new right and the Muslims, because the Muslims hate the blacks. Muslims hate the blacks. They hate the homosexuals. They hate the leftist socialist communists. They hate the others that I named previously. They hate... Yes, the Muslims hate the blacks. They hate the Protestants. They hate the communists. They hate the homosexuals, the apostate Protestants, the communists, and the Jews. And remember, the Muslims believe the Jews run America. All the more reason to blame the Jews for the radicalism that's been taking place here for 90 years, and the new right will agree with that and unite with the Muslims to drive out and kill off the Jews, which will benefit Israel because the Popes revived Latin Kingdom of Israel, because the best Jews will leave America and the rest will be left here to die and be murdered. And thus the curse of the Abrahamic covenant will come on the new right and the Muslims here that will be persecuting the seed of Abraham in North America. Would to God it wouldn't happen. Would to God we'd repent, truly believe the gospel, that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again, calling all men everywhere to repent and believe this wonderful good news, to have your sins forgiven, and then take a stand against the political tyranny of the Jesuit order wherever you are, and not to be driven into the new right. May God help us. Brother Eric John Phelps, thank you for tuning in today. I have a book, Vatican Assassins, Wound in the House of My Friends. Go to my website, vaticanassassins.org, pick up the book and some other things. Go to 247worldradio.com, pick up my previous broadcasts there. They're offered for a gift, particularly on the year that you want. And I have some other things of interest there, including the proof that Luther never wrote on the Jews and their lies, which I'm finishing up today to send out this week to three people who have purchased that. So appreciate your prayers. I need your prayers 2 minutes a day without lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. I need your gifts. Send your gifts to RBT, P.O. Box 306, Newmanstown, Pennsylvania, 17073. Or you can send to my Cash App at Eric, E-R-I-C, John, J-O-N, Phelps, P-H-E-L-P-S. You can send a gift to Cash App. Or you can send a gift to PayPal at rbpbdonate, rbpbdonate at comcast.net, rbpbdonate at comcast.net. And so until then, appreciate your prayers and continue reading the Word of God and continue to serve Him in spirit and in truth, especially on this Lord's Day when we remember, as we do every day, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has all authority in heaven and in earth, and will one day take us out of this place before the 70th week of Daniel, before the judgment of God upon the nations and the nation of Israel. So, until the next time we meet, Maranatha, the Lord be with you.